Bhaja,
worship, tanhara charane, is lotus feet. It's a very nice verse. They're all nice verses. It's a very nice verse. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. So, this verse is taking place. The inhabitants of Kulinagram have inquired from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is actually a Vaishnava, and what are his symptoms? Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second platform of Vaishnavism. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte Vaishnava who has just learned to chant the holy name of the Lord. A neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called Madhyam Bhagavata, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Generally, a devotee in the intermediate stage becomes a preacher. A neophyte devotee, or an ordinary person, should worship the Madhyam Bhagavat, who is the via medium. In his Upanishadamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Pranatibis cha bhajanantam isham. This means that the Madhyamadhikari devotees should exchange obeisances between themselves. The word nirantara, meaning without cessation, continuously, constantly, is very important in this verse. The word antara means interval. If one has desires other than a desire to perform devotional service, in other words, if one sometimes engages in devotional service and sometimes strives for sense gratification, his service will be interrupted. A pure devotee, therefore, should have no other desire than to serve Krishna. He should be above fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karma anavritam anukulena krishnano shilanam bhakti uttama. This is the platform of pure devotional service. One should not be motivated by fruitive activity or mental speculation, but should simply serve Krishna favorably. This is first-class devotion. Another meaning of antara is this body. This body is an impediment to self-realization because it is always engaged in sense gratification. Similarly, antara means money. If money is not used in Krishna's service, it is also an impediment. Antara also means janata, the people in general. The association of ordinary persons may destroy the principles of devotional service. Similarly, antara may mean greed, that is, the greed to acquire more money or enjoy more sense gratification. Finally, the word antara may also mean atheistic ideas, by which one considers the temple deity to be made of stone, wood, or gold. All of these are impediments. The deity in the temple is not material. He is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Similarly, considering the spiritual master an ordinary human being, Gurushu Naramatihi, is also an impediment. Nor should one consider a Vaishnava a member of a particular caste or nation. Nor should a Vaishnava be considered material. Charanamrita should not be considered ordinary drinking water, and the holy name of the Lord should not be considered an ordinary sound vibration. Nor should one look on Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being, for he is the origin of all Vishnu-tattva. Nor should one regard the Supreme Lord as a demigod. Intermingling the spiritual with the material causes one to look on transcendence as material and the mundane as spiritual. This is all due to a poor fund of knowledge. One should not consider Lord Vishnu and things related to him as being different. All this is an offense. In the Bhakti Sandharva 265, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, Naimaikam yasya vachish marana patam gatam yado deha durvinda nimitika pashanda shabdhena cha dasha aparada lakshante pashanda mayavat tesham. The Mayavadis look on Vishnu and Vaishnavas imperfectly due to their poor fund of knowledge, and this is condemned. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, their intermediate Vaishnava is described as follows. Ishvaratad adineshu valesheshu tavishtacha prema maitri pipopeksha yakaroti sa madhyamaha. The intermediate Vaishnava has to love God, make friends with the devotees, instruct the innocent, and reject jealous people. Sri Sri Gaura Nithaya ki. These are the four functions of the Vaishnava in the intermediate stage. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Sanatana Goswami has taught, Shraddhavan Janahaya Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyam Kanishta Shraddha Anushari. One who is faithful is a proper candidate for devotional service. In terms of one's degree of faith in devotional service, one is a first class, second class, or neophyte Vaishnava. Shastra Yuki Nahi Jani Dridha Shraddhavan Madhyama Adhikara Se Maha Bhagyavan. One who has attained the intermediate stage is not very advanced in Shastric knowledge, but he has firm faith in the Lord. Such a person is very fortunate to be situated on the intermediate platform. Attraction and love are the ultimate goal of devotional service. The degrees of such attraction and love for God distinguish the different stages of devotion: neophyte, intermediate, and perfectional. An intermediate devotee is greatly attracted to chanting the holy name, and by chanting is elevated to the platform of love. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas, and ultimately Krishna himself. Thus the intermediate Vaishnava considers himself Krishnadas, Krishna's servant. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent neophytes and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotee or motivated devotee. The motivated devotee or the non-devotee are on the materialistic platform and they are called Prakritya. However, he understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything related to him on the same transcendental platform, actually none of them are mundane. Om Agyan Timidandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chakshuru Militan Jayatajmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Buddhile Shwayam Rupakadamayam Dadanti Shvapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a very nice verse and purport by Srila Prabhupada explaining the science of devotional service, which is based on the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Actually, Mahaprabhu is responding to the question of the inhabitants of Kulinagram: what is a Vaishnava? Later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, a Vaishnava is anyone who reminds you of Krishna. And what is that Vaishnava doing to remind you of Krishna? He's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should never underestimate the potency of the holy name. This is an offense. Although there are only three words arranged in a specific order, Hare Krishna and Rama, these transcendental sound vibrations have the ability to evoke our dormant love for Krishna, for God. yesterday, we were asked a question in Srimad Bhagavatam class. How is it that those who are perpetually thrown into demoniac species of life, birth after birth, how can they be delivered from their material existence? There is two classes of beings. There's the divine and there's the demoniac. A certain section of that demoniac are described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, when he says that such demoniac persons are cast into various demoniac species of life, birth after birth. And Srila Prabhupada elaborates in the purport that they are perpetually thrown into demoniac species of life. And his commentary on that verse Sriman Madhvacharya, one of the great spiritual masters, acharyas in our line, he actually goes so far as to state that this means eternal damnation. So this appears a little bit contradictory, because sometimes in our preaching, well, very often we're challenged by the Christians, or we challenge the Christians, there's no such thing as eternal hell. How could God, who is so merciful, allow there to be something like eternal damnation? One life, and then eternally damned. This is why many people reject Christianity. This kind of philosophy went over good in the Middle Ages. But in modern times, people are a little more intelligent. They can see beyond this. How can they accept? But then again, how is it that one of our great acharyas, Madhvacharya, has stated that this verse means eternal damnation? Because it does mean eternal damnation. Because such persons are bahirmukha. They turn their face from God. They're so envious that they never want to know what is Krishna, what is God. So what is their hope? There is no hope. There is no hope. But Srila Rupa Goswami has enlightened us that what is the hope? Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Krishna Namaha. That there's no more merciful incarnation than Lord Chaitanya. Excuse me. Why is that? Because Lord Chaitanya freely distributes his love of God. And the members of the Panchatattva, they make no distinctions. Who is qualified, who is unqualified. Who is fit, and who is unfit. That means even if one is a rogue in the street, even if one is in a demoniac species of life, like a snake or a scorpion, Mahaprabhu can deliver that person. How? Harinam, 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 eva kevalam, kulu anishteva, 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 gatiranyata. By the potency of the holy name. Actually, Mahaprabhu, he inquired from Haridas Thakur, my dear Haridas, how is it that all these sinful living entities will be delivered from material existence? Because obviously during Mahaprabhu's time, so many human beings were being, even Mayavadis were being delivered by the potency of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu was inquiring from Haridas, Namcharya, the great teacher of the holy name, how will the sinful, this refers to those who are perpetually cast into demoniac species of life, how will they be delivered? And Haridas Thakur said, by the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Japa means we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna for our own benefit. But the Samkirtan movement, the loud chanting of the holy name, that is meant for all living entities. And this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even those who are sinful and are perpetually cast into demoniac species of life, by hearing the holy name, they can also be delivered from material existence. This is the mercy of the holy name. Even during Mahaprabhu's time, it was seen that certain animals, an animal means practically no consciousness, animals were also delivered. When Mahaprabhu went to the Jarikanda forest, the tigers and the bears and the deer, they chanted Hare Krishna, they gave up their envious nature. Animals are very envious by nature. When human society becomes very envious due to being attached to sense gratification, sense gratification means one becomes very envious, because one can never have enough. Therefore, one's always envious. You may have everything, but you'll still be envious, because you can't have actually everything. So you'll be envious of someone. So animals, being in the lower modes of nature, they're very envious, and they're always fighting and quarreling amongst each other. So the animals in the forest of Jarikanda, by chanting Hare Krishna, they gave up their envious nature, and the tigers were kissing the deers. You see the picture. There's a big tiger. Usually he eats the deer, but he's embracing the she-deer and giving a big kiss like that. So they give up their envious spirit. This is the effect. These are not folk tales or stories or fantasies. These are actual realities. And those who have faith in the holy name, they will understand such pastimes. One who has little faith in the holy name, the Kanishta Adhikari, he'll think maybe this is some type of exaggeration. They always take these glories of the holy name to be exaggeration. Just like Mahaprabhu declared that in every town and village of this world, my holy name will be glorified. So some neophyte devotees, Prakriti Bhaktas in India, they thought this just means India. This doesn't really mean the whole world. Because how can the Malechas chant Hare Krishna? How can the Yavanas chant? What is their qualification? But there is no qualification for chanting Hare Krishna. You simply have to vibrate. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. But such personality said that the holy name cannot actually go all over the world. But Śrīla Prabhupāda did it. Why? Because he was not a Kanishtha Arakari. He was not a Madhyama. He was Uttama Arakari. He had full faith in the holy name. So these pastimes of the holy name, because the holy name is a person, the pastimes of the holy name to deliver the fallen conditioned souls, these are not folk tales or fantasies or exaggerations or stories. These are actual facts. Just like yesterday we saw on Harinam. We went on Harinam in Amsterdam. And Amsterdam is one of the most degraded cities in the world, in case you didn't know. We travel a lot and we see different cities. We've just come from South Africa, where because of their isolation, there's quite a lot of piety down there. And you don't see things like prostitution and practically no drugs and these things, not that they're necessarily only outlawed, but people are simply not interested. Then you come to Amsterdam, it's like a culture shock. You see so many people from other modes of nature, ignorance and passion, etc. But we saw that by the congregational chanting of the holy name, Krishna Varnam Pusha Krishnam Shangopam Vishaparshanam Yagnai Sankirtan Payaryajanti Ease and Vedasaha, that by the Sankirtan Yagra, the chanting of the holy names in congregation, the people were delivered. If we had have gone out one or two or three, you know how it is, sometimes they laugh, they make jokes. But yesterday, congregational chanting, so many in the family chanting the holy names, what was the effect? People were overwhelmed. Not only were they overwhelmed, but they also vibrated. Hare Krishna, Hare. I saw many people in the crowd. They were just there for a while, and they got like overwhelmed, and eventually these very degraded looking types of people, they were Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You could see them repeat. They didn't even know they were chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then we saw how the boys came in, those young boys, and they were dancing in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party. So although it was acrobatics, we shouldn't think that was simply acrobatics. That was their way of expressing their Krishna prema, or rather their awakening of love of God. It may look to have been some mundane dance, but actually they were chanting in the Sankirtan party of Lord Chaitanya, and that gets credited. It's not because they were doing this or doing that, not exactly like the devotees. They were inspired on the basis of the holy name to chant Hare Krishna and to dance. So just see the effect of Harinam. Harinam, Harinam, eva kevalam, kulua, nashteva, nashteva, nashteva. There's no other way. How can we determine there's no other way? Well, just imagine if we had have gone out there with the process of Satya Yuga, which was meditation, and all the devotees walked out very silently. Is that called Dhammasplats or something? Dhammasplats? Dhammasplats? So if we had have gone there, we all, 150 devotees, sat down very peacefully and started chanting, Om. Do you think that anyone would have been inspired to take up spiritual life, to worship Krishna? No. Just imagine if we had have gone out there with the process of the Treta Yuga, which was fire sacrifice. In Hindi, they call that havan. So we went out there and we got permission from the police and we built a big fire there and we all sat around and we started throwing grain. Svaha, svaha, svaha. We may have got some curious onlookers, but nobody would have participated. It would have seemed too foreign to them. It would have been too different for them. And similarly, if we had have gone out there and engaged in the process of archan vidhi, or deity worship, no one would understand. They would think accused us of being idol worshippers. But because we brought the holy name of Krishna, which is the process for this age, the recommended process for this age, everyone participated. And instead of seeing the deity as an idol, they chanted in front of Gaur Nitai. Nitai Gaur, Haribo, Haribo. You see, the boys were chanting in front of the deity like that. So just see the power of the holy name to deliver. So therefore, Nashteva, 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 there cannot be any other process. Who can say there's any other process to deliver the people in general? And Mahaprabhu, this was his technique for engaging everyone in Krishna's devotional service. Because by chanting Hare Krishna, we're worshipping the Supreme Lord. By chanting his name, we're glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is devotional service. Chanting Hare Krishna is the means and it's also the end. It's the means by which the neophyte devotee, the madhyam devotee, become perfected, and it is the eternal activity of the Uttama Arakari, or the Mahabhagavata, the eternally liberated soul. In the spiritual world, the residents of the spiritual world, it's described that all talking is singing, all walking is dancing, and there's a festival every day. So in the spiritual world, the gopis, who are the topmost devotees of the Lord, they're experiencing Vipralamba Seva, which is something very far away from what we were experiencing yesterday. But nonetheless, you can imagine it was so ecstatic to chant Hare Krishna on our level, what it must be to chant Hare Krishna on the level of the perfected devotee. So what we have to look forward to. So the gopis, they're experiencing Vipralamba Seva, which means service and separation. Service and separation. So how do they mitigate their feelings of separation from Krishna? By chanting his glories. When Uddhava, the great friend of Krishna, was sent by Lord Krishna just to witness the exalted love of the gopis for Lord Krishna, he saw them engaged in chanting Krishna's pastimes. They were singing how Krishna did this, how Krishna did that, Krishna did this and Krishna did that. They were glorifying the Lord through the process of kirtana. So we can see there's no other means in Kali Yuga for deliverance, and it is the eternal activity of the liberated souls. We told the story in Antwerp, but because it's a nice story, we'll tell it again. There was once three sages, and these three sages, they were arguing about what is the best age for spiritual advancement. Generally, you can appreciate this age is so degraded, how can anyone make spiritual advancement? So the sages were arguing. One said, Satyayug, that's the best age. Other said, excuse me, Panaji, it's Treta-yug. And they just said, I beg to differ between the two of you, it's Dwapara Yuga. So back and forth, Treta, Dwapara, Satya, Satya, Treta, Dwapara. But they didn't even mention the name Kali. Because great saintly persons, they understand that the Kali Yuga is an ocean of inauspiciousness. It's so sinful that even to say the name Kali, one becomes contaminated. Just like you repeat anything that they have going on out there, some of their music, some of their activities, how many of the mind becomes disturbed? You think of a bar, you think of the brothels, you think of the way they dress, what they eat, what they do. Many of the mind, Hare Krishna, right? You're going down the street, it's all advertised in the stores and the newsstands. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You come back to Krishna consciousness. It's an ocean of inauspicious qualities. Ocean means, just like if you're in the ocean, if you've ever been on a boat and you traveled on the ocean, you can appreciate how vast is the ocean. Sailors who are at sea for many months at a time, there's a certain type of mental disease they get, mental unequilibrium. They become a little funny because they never see the land. So the ocean is so vast. So this Kali Yuga is an ocean of inauspicious qualities. So these sages, they wouldn't even say Kali Yuga. So back and forth, back and forth. So they couldn't come to a conclusion. So finally they said, let us go see Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva is a literary incarnation of God. And being the knower of everything, he will tell us what is the best age. So they traveled to Bhadrika Ashram and up in the Himalayas, and they got there, but Srila Vyasadeva was in a bathing tank, underwater, bathing. So the sages came, oh, lo, you great sadhu, great sage, Srila Vyasadeva, please, tell us, what is the best age for spiritual enlightenment? Is it Satya? Is it Treta? Is it Dwapara? So after some time, he came out of the water and he raised his hands and he said, Satyam, Satyam, Param Satyam, Kali Yuga is the best. All the sages, what? Kali Yuga is the best. How could he say that? And boom, he went back under the water. So they were all bewildered by this time. Hey, oh, please, great Srila Vyasadeva, won't you please tell us why you said such a thing that Kali Yuga is the best age. So again he came up. Kalo dosha nidhe rajan astayeka mahaguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha paramaja. This is actually eternal verse. We find this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is also, as the Bhagavatam is eternal. Kalo dosha nidhe rajan astayeka mahaguna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha. It is an ocean of faults, he said, but there's one good quality. What is that one good quality? that anyone can be delivered by the simple process of chanting the holy name of Krishna. So who can doubt this? Because we see every day so many fallen people participating in this Sankirtan movement, getting deliverance from material existence by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is very amazing. But even this is not amazing. Because in his conversation with the pandits, Haridas Thakur was invited by Govardhanacharya and another devotee to the home to discuss with the pandits the glories of chanting Hare Krishna. So the different pandits, they said, the holy name is so powerful that by chanting Hare Krishna, one becomes freed of all karma. Now other processes, it takes many lifetimes to become free from one's sinful reactions. But just by chanting Hare Krishna, they said, chanting the name of God, one becomes freed from karma. And everyone applauded. This is very nice. Another pandit, he said, yes, also by chanting Hare Krishna, one gets moksha. This is also very amazing. But Haridas Thakur, when he was asked, what do you think about this, being a Namacharya, he said, he just smiled a little bit, and this is not very significant, he said. So they were, what do you mean this is not significant? He said, these things are concomitant factors of chanting Hare Krishna. The real glories of the holy name is that it awakens our dormant love for God. This is the real glory of chanting Hare Krishna. That the sound vibration of the holy name goes right to the heart and awakens the living entity to love of God. This is the real glories of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he said that even a dim reflection, nambas, even a shadow attachment for the holy name, one achieves moksha and freedom from karma. Just chanting imperfectly, not even the pure stage of chanting, even a shadow attachment for the holy name, one can get moksha and freedom from karma. So of course we know there's that one personality. What was his name? Huh? Yeah, one tax man. He said, if that's true, if that's not true, then your nose will fall off. This is an exaggeration. If that's not true, that, you know, this happens, then your nose will fall off. So his nose fell off, tax man, because he created an offense. First offense against the holy name was to blaspheme the great devotee who had dedicated his life to chanting. You see. So even a dim reflection of chanting Hare Krishna can deliver one. Ajamil, he wasn't chanting the holy name purely. He was calling out to his son, but he got the credit. The Vishnudutas took him, put him in a situation which was favorable for the devotional service, and the next life he went back home, back to Godhead. Once there was an old man, materialistic person, sinful, rascal, rogue his whole life. On his deathbed, he was always making fun of the devotees and the Vaishnavas, ridiculing them, causing them so many problems. But in his deathbed, he said, all right, give me some japa mala. I'm going to die, so this loud, I'll chant Hare Krishna now. So he ordered his servant to go to the marketplace, but on the way to the marketplace, the old man died. So the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas came again. And the Yamadutas said, he belongs to us. And the Vishnudutta said, no, he had an intention to chant Hare Krishna, therefore he's delivered. So that's what happened. He got delivered simply because he had the intention to chant Hare Krishna. So this falls in line with the pastime of Haridas Thakur saying that even this nambash, even not yet pure chanting of the holy name, one can get liberation. So this is the glories. So of course, this is all very wonderful, but as devotees, initiated devotees or aspiring devotees, we want to perfect the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because Prabhupada also said that one can go on chanting for millions of years, not attain love of God. There's always some benefit. Even the Muslim, when he chants, Haram, Haram, Haram means how horrible this pig is killing me. Because the Muslims, they consider pigs very abominable. So if in such a situation that a boar is attacking a Muslim hunter and he calls out, Haram, Haram, how horrible this pig is killing me. Still, because he's vibrated the holy name, Ha and Ram, which are not even the totality of the holy name, but a prefix, Hare Rama, he's chanting Haram, still he gets the benefit. He gets to make immense spiritual advancement. Well, like in France, they have a store called something, Kumpho Rama, or this O Rama, or that O Rama. They also have a candy bar called Haribol. So people get the benefit. even though they're unintentionally chanting the holy name, they still get the benefit. Have even one material desire left in our heart, we still have to come back. So we have to elevate ourselves to the platform of chanting purely the holy name. So there are some guidelines. There are many guidelines on the pure chanting of the holy name, and they are very nicely elaborated on here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. Different practices which are to be accepted and different things which are to be avoided. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he summed it up very nicely. Nadanam nadjanam nasundarim kavicham vajagadishana kamaye mama janmani janmani ishvara bhavatad bhaktya haitiki. Oh my Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth. Neither do I want to enjoy beautiful women. Neither do I want a number of followers of mine. All that I want is that I might have your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. So this devotee, he does not aspire for these things. Dhanam janam sundarim. This means wealth, association with the opposite sex, and fame and reputation. He doesn't desire these things. He only wants devotional service. What is devotional service in the age of Kali? Chanting the holy name. So devotee knows that he can be delivered from material existence by chanting. And he knows he should avoid these various obstacles of devotional service, but still he becomes overwhelmed. So therefore Mahaprabhu also prayed, O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds of millions of names like Krishna and Govinda, etc. In all these transcendental names, you've invested your full transcendental energy, but unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction. So we know that we should avoid material desire. And we know the process of chanting Hare Krishna will help us overcome our material desire and attain pure devotional service. But the lamenting stage is there. I have no attraction for the holy name. We sit down and we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna, Ram, Ram, Hare. And we think that we've completed our vow of chanting 16 rounds. Actually, as we travel around, we notice very often how devotees are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And we have to go back to zero. We have to go right back to the beginning of chanting the full mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Such chanting will deliver us. There's a great science. There's a whole evolution which Prabhupada explains here of chanting in his purport. But unless we chant the mantra correctly, we can't even begin to discuss these other things. So one good technique while chanting is to sit next to a godbrother or a godsister. And Prabhupada says that the chanting should be done such that the person sitting next to you, he can hear. Not that you chant. Of course, if you have a voice problem, that's something else. But in general, you should chant loud enough that the person sitting next to you can hear, and if necessary, he can correct you in your chanting. So, it is a great science. And Mahaprabhu also said, Tunada pisa ni chana, tora pisa hisana, amanina, mandinina, kirtana yad sadahari. How can we chant Hare Krishna always? How can we always be attracted? Because you can't do something continually unless you're attracted to it. So Mahaprabhu says in that verse, that one should chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. But you can't do something constantly unless you like to do it. You can't do something constantly. You're not going to do something constantly unless you're attracted to it, isn't it? So one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street, more tall than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects unto others, expecting no respect for himself. Then one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So we shouldn't just rattle these verses off every morning. 10 offenses to the holy name, Trinada Pisanichanara Banchakabhaturubhyascha. It's a great science. We should meditate. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. We should think about that. One should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of a sense of false prestige, wanting no respect for myself, but wanting to always glorify the other Prabhus, the other Vaishnavas. By cultivating this mentality, this is the science of chanting the holy name, we can actually develop a real attraction for the holy name. We could develop an actual attraction for the holy name. And that formula will bring us to the stage of pure chanting. It's not a mystery. Trinada Pisanichana. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that one should wear that verse as a garland around one's mind. Constantly meditating in that verse, we can learn how to chant Hare Krishna purely. One time, Srila Prabhupada was sitting with Dr. Kapoor, who's his godbrother, initiated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. This was before Prabhupada was sannyasi. And they were sitting in Prabhupada's chemical laboratory. So they used to sit and discuss Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, one day, he surprised Dr. Kapoor. He said, Dr. Kapoor, I have found out, they were in the medical laboratory where all the chemicals are. I have found out the formula. I have found out how to mix the formula for love of God. So Dr. Kapoor was a little surprised. He looked around at all the medicine bottles on the wall, all these different ingredients and chemicals and so forth. And he thought, what's happened to Abhai? You know, he's thinking he can mix some of these chemicals here. He said, yes, you found the mixture for love of God? And Prabhupada said, yes, I have found the mixture for love of God. And Dr. Kapoor said, well, Prabhupada said, unfortunately, I've been unable to apply it. He said, oh, you know the formula, but you can't apply it. So anyway, let's discuss it. What is the formula? So Prabhupada said, Trinadapi sinichana, torapi sinichana, amanina, mandinana, kirtane yad sadahari. This is the formula. Once you chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects unto others. So, of course, Prabhupada always saw Krishna, and there was no question of his chanting being anything but perfect from the day he was born. But in that mood of the perfect humility of a Vaishnava, he stated like this. For us, many times great devotees like Sridhar Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, they take the position of a neophyte devotee just to show us how we should feel, what is the proper mentality to correct ourselves. So we study this verse, we think about it, we discuss it, then we can appreciate how to come to the platform of pure chanting. Again, because pure chanting will mean constant chanting of the holy name. And we also know that those of you who were with Prabhupada, Prabhupada was always chanting. Wasn't he finished his 16 rounds and he felt that's it? That mentality is similar to the mentality of thinking the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to be one of the ritualistic activities mentioned in the Vedas for pious result. You perform your ritualistic activity, that's it. Next morning, 7 o'clock, you take it up again. That's a ritualistic activity. But chanting Hare Krishna means minimum 16 rounds a day. Not that I finish chanting Hare Krishna. There's no question of ever finishing. We're going to chant eternally. And the more we chant, the better. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, what is the result of chanting Hare Krishna? What do we get? Prabhupada said, more chanting, more kirtan. You can see, because it's completely transcendental, the holy name, it evokes that spirit, that love for Krishna. Ananda Buddhi Bhardavanam, it's always expanding. When you do something material, you put a big effort into it, then you're fatigued, you want to break. But when we chant Hare Krishna, we want to chant more Hare Krishna and more Hare Krishna and more and more and more. Ananda Buddhi Bhardavanam, that's proof that it's transcendental. After a kirtan, we'd like to keep chanting. But unfortunately, these material bodies are not really constructed in such a way as for pure devotional service. The gopis were cursing Brahma because they wanted to see Krishna every moment. They were cursing Brahma. You rascal Brahma, you've made eyes that blink for a fraction of an instant we can't see Krishna. For a fraction we can't see Krishna. So the material body is like that. It's an impediment. Well, actually, ultimately it's not an impediment for pure devotional service, because if the consciousness is pure, anything can be done for Krishna. But the desire of the devotee is to perfect his devotional service and offer incessantly service to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's a great science, chanting Hare Krishna. We should study it. There's one nice literature also, Harinam Chintamani, in which it's described, the glories of chanting Hare Krishna. Specifically in the Harinam Chintamani, in order to train the devotees to come to the platform of pure chanting, Haridas Thakur discusses the 10 offenses to the holy name. An elaborate description is given on the Huti Mata, or the most grievous offense to the holy name, and that is to offend the Vaishnavas. Because as is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's only two principles, religious principles in this age. There's no other religion. We see so many religions, but actually there's no religion, Krishnadas Kaviraj describes, except service to the name and the Prabhus. Serving the Vaishnavas and chanting the holy names, that is the process for spiritual life in this age of Kali Yuga. So in relationship to that, he says, if we offend either of these two, then our spiritual life is put into great jeopardy. Actually, if you think about it, the holy name is so wonderful that by chanting Hare Krishna, we're able to control our strong material desires. We've all come to Krishna consciousness based on the strength of chanting. But it's not simply that by becoming Vaishnavas that the work is done. Not simply that one takes initiation and takes up the process. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya. That's not enough. Just like if you go to the forest and you cut down, you want to till a field there, you want to make a field, so you want to remove all the trees. So you cut down all the trees. That's very nice. But if you actually want to clear the field, you have to blast out the roots. Removing the trees from the farmland doesn't mean just cutting down the trees, it means you have to also take out the roots. So we have shaved our heads and put on dhotis and saris and tilak and so forth. But Prabhupada said it's not such an easy thing to be a Vaishnava. It's not such an easy thing to be chanting the holy names of the Lord 24 hours a day. You have to pull up the roots also. Those roots of material existence, they may go very deep. They may go very deep. So, but still we see, although the roots are still there in our hearts of material attachments for dhanam, janam, and sundarim, still we maintain our Krishna consciousness and we go on. So the chanting is that powerful that it keeps down the material desires. Not only that, but it burns up the material desires. So why material desire? Why do we see sometimes a devotee becomes overwhelmed by material desire? If even a neophyte hippie from Amsterdam can take up the chanting of Hare Krishna and maintain and control his senses, how is it that an advanced devotee can fall down into material desire? How is it possible? If a neophyte is withholding his material desire and purifying them, but an advanced devotee falls down into sense gratification, what is that? It's like we see sometimes an advanced devotee leaves the process of Krishna consciousness. We think, if he couldn't make it, how am I going to make it? That devotee was so intelligent. He was doing this and he was doing that, and he was exalted amongst all the Vaishnavas in his performance of devotion, but he's fallen down, so what's going to happen to me? I'm just nothing compared to him in my devotional service. See, this question has actually arisen. So what is the answer? Haridas Thakur describes that it's because of offenses to the holy name, offenses to the holy Vaishnava, to the Vaishnavas. And what is the effect of an offense to a Vaishnava? That one loses the mercy of the holy name, and material desire again becomes prominent. It's described in Nectar of Devotion that even if you offend Krishna, you can be delivered. Krishna is so kind. The Mayavadis were offensive to Krishna. When Mahaprabhu was going through Varanasi, they were ridiculing him. Look at this so-called sannyasi, chanting and dancing, emotional. He should be home studying the Vedas if he's actually... They blasphemed Lord Chaitanya. So many critical things they said. But they were delivered. Mahaprabhu came and personally delivered them. So even if somehow or other one is so unfortunate that he blasphemes God, still there's a chance for being delivered. But Nectar of Devotion goes on to state that if one blasphemes the holy name, there's no chance of being delivered. No chance of being delivered. So we must not simply just repeat the 10 offenses, we must actually think about it very carefully. Of course, we may still be committing, but we're sincerely trying to stop those offenses, therefore we can make progress. We may be making offenses, but if we're sincerely making an effort to stop, the Lord takes that into consideration. Mahaprabhu takes that into consideration. That's why before chanting Hare Krishna, we invoke the mercy of Gaura Nithai. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Actually, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sridhara Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that one who says he's a devotee, he's not a devotee if he's not a devotee of Mahaprabhu. He even says they're demons. Devotee means devotee of Mahaprabhu, because only by the mercy of Gaura Nithai can we approach the absolute truth about Radha Krishna. Only by the mercy of the spiritual master can we approach Gaura Nithai. And only by the mercy of Gaura Nithai can we approach Radha and Krishna. So therefore, always before, we should learn this, we should know this, that before chanting Hare Krishna, the devotees and the various personalities are meant to be glorified before we chant, invoking their mercy to, so that we can chant Hare Krishna properly. Prabhupada said, even in the process of deity worship, Archa Murti, the Archa Vigraha, which is the mercy incarnation of God, the Lord is so kind that He appears as the Archa Murti. We're so fallen and so conditioned, but He gives us a chance to see Him, to touch Him, to bathe Him, to worship Him, to glorify Him. Even in the mercy incarnation of the Lord, the Archa Vigraha, the chanting of the holy names is predominant. It's predominant because there's so many offenses to be made in worshiping the deity. So in order to nullify those offenses and to make our service acceptable by the deity, we must chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Even in taking prasadam, who could be more merciful than the Lord's appearance as prasadam? Huh? The Lord comes as prasad, and even the most fallen, sinful person can be delivered by taking prasadam. Still, we're chanting Hare Krishna. We shouldn't discuss prajalpa. In Paris, big demon, 15 feet tall. It wasn't that big. Big demon, he attacked a kirtan party, picked one of the women up and threw her against the wall, fell down, punched a man and broke this, and kicked the halav up in the air. So some of us ran towards him and we took a swing at him, and he ducked. But because he ducked, he lost his balance, he fell on the ground. And then we all got around him like we were going to beat him up. And he was so nervous that in his bewilderment and his confusion, he started picking up the halav that was all over the ground and eating it. He was sitting there on the ground, don't hit me, eating the halav like that. So gradually, by eating the halav, he became more pacified and more peaceful. And finally, he's just sitting there like, what have I done? He actually felt bad that he'd done something like this. So later on, we attributed that to the glories of prasadam. Prasadam's instant effect. Sometimes Prabhupada used to keep a whole barrel of prasadam next to the door at 22nd 2nd Avenue, ISKCON bullets, gulab jamuns. So devotees, they would be tempted to go out of the world of Vaikuntha, the temple, into Maya's kingdom in the Bowery, but they'd have to pass by this big barrel of gulab jamuns. So naturally, you know, by walking by, they'd, well, I'll take a few gulab jamuns with me, and they'd eat a gulab jamun, and then they'd change their mind. Why should I go out there? I'll come back in the temple. So prasadam is so merciful. But even in taking prasadam, we should chant Hare Krishna. Actually, Lord Chaitanya says we should always chant Hare Krishna. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, every endeavor is covered by some fault. So even in the exalted process, the merciful process of touching Krishna and bathing Krishna and cooking for Krishna, we still have to chant Hare Krishna. We should never think that we've just been, let me finish my rounds and go on to something else. Everything should be permeated by the holy name. Because while doing these other things, the mind may wander. One may make the offense, as Prabhupada says here. He says another meaning of the word antara, which means things to be avoided, is that one considers the temple deity to be made of stone or wood or gold. This is all impediments. So we may not think, oh, we know that the deity is Krishna. But sometimes we come in and we don't really offer our obeisances. Just like yesterday, I was in one temple and a devotee came by and said, Vanchakalpa, Maharaj. You see, Vanchakalpa. Or sometimes you get letters, Pam Ho, AGSTP. I mean, I don't know what others think about that, but Pam Ho, Prabhu, AGSTP. I don't even like to say it. It's actually a thing. Please accept my humble obeisances, all the way. Why can't we say it? We're not even supposed to bow down with one arm, but to speak of not saying the whole pranam mantras to the spiritual master or to the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpa tudu bhyasta kripa sindhu beva cha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevya namo namo. If you don't say it, how can you remember what it means? You see, so we come into the temple and there's Krishna, we ring the bell, we come in, and it was there. But if we actually knew that the deity was Krishna, with great awe and reverence, we would bow down. Namo Om Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesa Sunyavade Paschacharish. So we would rise. Jai Shishi Gaur Nitai Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nitai. You're so merciful, you've come to this temple. and I'm engaged in your devotional service. That is the mentality of one who actually knows the deity is the deity. So we may accept the deity as being Krishna, but there's also an evolution in that consciousness, a purification in that consciousness, that we actually... Prabhupada said, one day, if you continue worshipping, if you see the deity as brass, it remains to you as brass forever. But if you accept him as Krishna and you worship him as Krishna, one day that deity will speak to you. I have the tape. Prabhupada said, one day this deity will speak to you. And in the installation of C.C. Radha Krishna, of Jyota Radha Krishna in L.A., Prabhupada actually was saying, Krishna is so kind, he has come, and I am so insignificant, what can I offer him? Here, my Lord, please accept, and Prabhupada began to cry. So this is the vision of Uttama Madhukari. He doesn't just intellectually know that deity is God. He sees Krishna there. So we're being trained to see like that. So we cannot afford to avoid these details of devotional service. This is the whole science of chanting Hare Krishna. Not that we can separate anything from chanting the holy name. The whole process is based on chanting Hare Krishna. But everything is to bring us to that platform of pure chanting. All the details of devotional service are there to assist us to come to the platform of chanting Hare Krishna. Because it's all based on chanting. And everything else is there to help us chant purely. We cannot just go and chant. We can't do that. Actually, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati, he chastises his mind like that. My, you rascal mind, if you think that you can just go to some solitary place and chant Hare Krishna to get the fame of the public, you're fool number one. We can't do that. We can't just sit down and chant purely the holy name, like Haridas Thakur, 300,000 names. You know, we can't do that. But that is the process. The liberated souls, they can glorify Krishna 24 hours a day by the pure chanting of the holy name. But we can't. So therefore, we have so many ways to assist us in developing this pure chanting. Everything that we do, from the moment we wake up in the morning, how we bathe, how we cleanse ourselves, how we come to the temple, the morning program, our obeisances to the spiritual master, to the devotees, to the Lord. Everything that we are doing throughout the day, serving the holy name, going out on Harinam, glorifying the holy name, Shishi Gornitai Ki. This is all service in the chanting of Hare Krishna. So it's interwoven like that. So we should study these verses very carefully. We don't actually have time to go over all the details here. But we'll mention them briefly. Prabhupada says, antara means money. Money is not used in Krishna's service. It's an impediment to devotional service. Unnecessary association. Asat sanga tyaga evaishnava chaya shtrishangi ekasara Krishna bhaktara. Asat sanga tyaga. It's very important to avoid the association of non-devotees. Non-devotees means persons who are attached to money and women and also mayavadis, who are adverse to the service of devotional service. We discussed a little about deity worship. No one should consider a Vaishnava to be from a particular caste or nation. No one should ridicule a devotee. Blasphemy doesn't just simply mean you get up in public and say, this devotee is this and this and this. Ridicule means in common conversation you make jest of a devotee, perhaps his bodily features, the way he dresses, or how he did his service that day. This politics, temple politics, also can be taken into the platform of Pajalpa. We should be very careful in discussing about Vaishnavas. If correction is needed, that correction should be given in the proper form. Not that we shouldn't correct, but constructive criticism should be there in such a way that the devotee can hear and accept. But rumor mongering and talking behind the back and dissension and politics, this all causes to create the temple atmosphere to become less spiritual. And Prabhupada actually said, when you can actually judge the Krishna consciousness of the temple by the kirtan. If you go and you travel around and you see the kirtan is very ecstatic and the devotees love to chant Hare Krishna, they're dancing and singing. This means maybe even neophyte devotees, but the atmosphere is purified. They're practicing these principles of devotional service. So you can judge the the consciousness of the temple by how blissful the kirtans are. So, ridiculing Vaishnavas, we should be extremely careful about discussing ill about a Vaishnava. Actually, there is a means by which Vaishnavas generally discuss the faults or the deficiencies of other devotees. And that isn't the proper forum. But in that forum, just as our GBC members very nicely did this year, when they met and they wanted to discuss about a devotee, either in his absence or in his presence, they first discussed his good qualities. They first discussed, oh, this devotee has done this and he's done that and he's accomplished this, and everyone appreciated it. So in a non-envious, non-malicious mood, they began to discuss that devotee's deficiencies. So we can use that little technique also. When we have to speak about someone that, especially in a position of leadership, it's necessary sometimes to correct. Therefore, quite often, those who are leaders, they're not always so popular because they have to take a stand. But leader or followers, whatever, this is a very good means by which to keep the non-envious mentality. Because the materialistic person, his means of elevating himself is to degrade others. This person, this and this and that. He makes everyone look bad, but he doesn't say anything about himself. So all of a sudden he's a shining example of purity and exaltedness, because he's pointed out the deficiencies in others. So therefore, it's stated by Mahaprabhu, one should desire no respect for himself, but give all the respects to the others. So actually, if you want to point out some deficiency, we should say, this is how fallen I am. But then again, it is necessary to correct others, etc. So a good technique to keep on a proper balanced platform is to glorify that devotee. He's done this, but Prabhu, you're also done this. You're also a nonsense. But then the devotee won't take it so difficult. So we have to learn these Vaishnava dealings. That actually, Prabhupada spends so much of the purport here discussing how to deal with Vaishnavas. Because Prabhupada said, if you think that you can become Krishna conscious outside the association of devotees, you're living in an hallucination. So just as there's a science for chanting Hare Krishna, it's intermingled with a very intimate science of how to associate with Vaishnavas. You can't perfect chanting unless we know how to associate with Vaishnavas. And you can't associate with Vaishnavas unless you learn the science of chanting Hare Krishna. Again, because these two principles...